We're doing the Ein Yaakov and Brachot. We're up to the fifth chapter, Daf Lamed Aleph, and in the regular Ein Yaakovs, that would be Nun Chet Amud Bet, page 116. Tano Rabbanan, we have a Braisa, a Tanaic quote that was validated by the academies of Rav Chiya and Rav Hoshaya, or Rav Hoshaya. Eino Medin Leitpalel, we don't stand in prayer. We don't enter our mincha prayer or our ma'ariv prayer. Lo mitoch atzvut, not out of sadness. Velo mitoch atzlut, nor out of laziness. Velo mitoch schok, nor out of joking, laughter. Velo mitoch sicha, nor out of idle chatter. Velo mitoch kalut rosh, nor out of lightheadedness. Velo mitoch dvorim betelim, nor out of pointless things. Ela mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. But rather, we are supposed to enter our encounter with our Creator. We are supposed to enter it coming out of the happiness of the performance of a mitzvah. So people sometimes get confused on this point. We're supposed to enter from the happiness that we did a mitzvah. So what mitzvah is there that makes us happy? Sometimes giving tzedakah can make a person happy. Sometimes helping his fellow man. Person has to think which mitzvah makes him happy. We're entering an important moment in our day. We're speaking to God. And Chazal wanted us to enter it, we know from the Mishnah that we learned last week, out of recognition who we're talking to, recognition that we're talking to our Creator. And Chazal also wanted us to enter it out of happiness. Now, notice that they clearly said, not a good joke. Not out of lightheadedness. That would contradict the weight we're supposed to have when we enter prayer. Not out of laziness. People sometimes think, you know, I got to focus. I'm going to enter prayer, so I'll sit and think about who I'm talking to. It's a good thing. It's a good thing for about a minute, or as long as it takes you, maybe 20 seconds. If you're one of the pious ones that could spend longer in focusing your mind before prayer, good for you. It's a good thing. But if you're like most people, that if you sit down and you spend 5 minutes preparing for prayer, you're going to start looking around and yawning and just sitting there idly. That's exactly what the Braisa says don't do. Don't enter prayer out of laziness. We're going to learn that one could also enter prayer out of learning Torah, provided that his Torah is focused, that he comes to a conclusion. Otherwise, he's going to enter prayer and his mind is still wandering in his learning. So that's also happiness. That's also happiness of a mitzvah. V'chein, and so too. Not only when we are about to greet our Creator should we enter it out of simcha of a mitzvah, but also lo yipater adam mitoch mechavero. A person should not depart from his friend. Lo mitoch sicha, not out of idle chatter. Ve'lo mitoch schok, nor out of joking. Ve'lo mitoch kalut rosh, nor out of lightheadedness. Ve'lo mitoch dvorim betelim, nor out of idle chatter. Ela mitoch devar halacha. But rather, when we depart, when we come to say goodbye, so in Judaism our goodbyes are supposed to consist of something of halacha. Sheken matzino benvim arishonim shesimu divrei midivrei shevach v'tanchumim. We also find that the earlier prophets, they would always end on a good note. They'd end with comfort. So we end on a good note. What's our good note? A word of halacha. The custom in Jerusalem is that when someone departs, you tell them the halacha yachid v'rabim halacha k'rabim. If you have an individual who disagrees with the majority, you go with the majority opinion. Why is that so? So if you write down yachid v'rabim halacha k'rabim, you'll see that the first letters are yud vav hey kaf, which spell the name of the angel which accompanies a person when he's traveling. That's the name of the angel. I don't know how to pronounce it. Yod Vav Hei Kaf. And that angel's name is also spelled out in the Pasuk, Ki Malachav Yitzaveh Lach. The verse says, God will command his angel to join you Bechol Derechecha in all your journeys. So the words, Ki Malachav Yitzaveh Lach, the last letters of that Pasuk, are also ki yod malachav vav yitzave hey lach kaf, are also the same letters that spell out this angel's name. So I don't know what any of that means. But this is the custom. The custom is that when we depart from a friend, we tell him at least this halacha. Dechen tani, yachid v'rabim, halacha k'rabim. If there's an individual versus the majority, the halacha is with the majority opinion. V'chein tani mari bar b'rei d'Rav Huna, b'rei d'Rav Yirmiyah abba-rabba. And so too, mari, the grandson of Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yirmiyah, the son of Abba, taught, al yipater adam chavro lo mitoch dvar halacha, shemitoch kach zochreu. A person should not depart from his friend with any other conversation other than halacha, because that will cause that he remembers him, that he mentions him. How so? So we know that you shouldn't be quick to mention other people's names. You mention someone, people are going to be quick to have a comment about him. And very often that'll lead to derogatory conversation, which we're prohibited biblically from having. We're not allowed to deride someone. So we don't discuss other people frequently. If we start talking about so-and-so, someone says, yeah, I remember him, you remember what he used to do? So we try not to mention people. But what happens if you tell your friend the halacha? So when your friend is going to quote that halacha, he's supposed to quote it in your name. Chazal say, if you quote something in someone's name, that brings redemption to the world, the fact that we quote one another correctly in halachos. So if you leave your friend and you leave him with an important thought, you leave him with a halacha, the next time he quotes that halacha, he'll quote you, he'll remember you. He's supposed to quote you. So that's what our sages taught us. So this that I just told you, there was a rabbi named Rav Arzuchavitch, he told me in the name of the Gra on this Gemara. When I left his apartment, so he... I told you guys stories about him last week or 2 weeks ago. He's the one that the Nazis hurt, and he did chesed right on Friday, I told you. That his house was a bastion of chesed because of the Chafetz Chaim we learned 5 minutes ago. Because he didn't merit to have kids, so Chafetz Chaim says, if you don't merit to have kids, at least you should do chesed. That's what we'll learn Bezat Shem later tonight. The flip side of it, person's already 75, like he was. He doesn't have any hope for kids with his wife who's 75. But he does have hope of maintaining, continuing through the chesed that he does. So when I left his apartment, he told me this. He told me all the things I said earlier tonight about Yechid v'Rabim al Chak Rabim, and also Shemitoch Kach Zochil. So you see, I'm still mentioning him. A decade later, that's this halacha. He's not around anymore. He's already passed to the other world. But I'm mentioning him because when I left his apartment, he told me this pshat and this gemara. So that's what Chazal say. When your friend leaves you, you tell him halacha, he'll mention you, he'll remember you. Yeah, you've impacted his life. Kihad Rav Kahana alviyel Rav Simi Barashi, like Rav Kahana accompanied Rav Simi, the son of Ashi, mipum nara ad beitzinita de Bavel, from the place where the river began to the beitzinita de Bavel, some place in Babylon. Tzinita, I think, are palm trees. The place where palm trees grew in Babylon. Kimat al-Hatam, when they got there, so he walked them a long distance. He was leaving him, so he accompanied him for a ways. Amar lei mar vadai de amrei in shehani tzinita de bevel itniu me'adam arishon v'ad-hatam v'ad-hashta. He said to him, my teacher, it must be the way people say that these palm trees are so magnificent that they've been around from the time of Adam. You know how a palm tree grows. Every year it gives out branches, and then those branches become the trunk. And then the next year it gives out more branches. So a palm tree grows very slowly, but you cannot get it to grow quicker. The only way a palm tree can grow is year after year after year. It has another layer, right? That's the only way a palm tree can grow. So those palm trees must have reached till the sky. And he said to him, it must be that, like people say, that these palm trees date back to Adam. He said, you know what? You reminded me of Rav Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina taught. Damar Rav Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina, my dichtiv, be'eretz asher lo aval ba'ish b'lo yashav adam sham. The verse says that the land will be a land where no one passed and no one settled. Me'achal de lo aval hech yashav. If the verse begins by saying no one passed through that land, obviously no one settled it. So why does the verse say both? Ela lomar lecha kol eretz shegazar le'adam harishon lishuv nityashva. But it's teaching us that whatever land Adam declared would be settled was settled. Adam would look at territories and say, oh, people should settle that and people should settle that. And his blessings came true. Where whatever territory he blessed, that's where people settled. Whatever he didn't bless, did not get settled. Adam.
Sorry to interrupt, but when you said to tell each other a halacha before you leave, does it have to be the one about if there's a dispute or whatever, or the majority or whatever?
No, it doesn't have to be that one.
Any halacha
is fine. It happens to be the custom in Jerusalem is that, but I think it's a cop-out.
Yeah,
you know, it's a good thing to end with that, but that way you're fulfilling the custom, but it's good to say something else.
Yeah, because if you hear it the first time from your friend, like, you tell that one time, and the next one says the same thing, like, you tell me that laugh.
Right.
That's great, thank you.
But I think that the idea here is that they're departing like a guy is leaving to another country. It's not just you're leaving for the day. It's not that every time you end with your chavrusa, you depart out of halacha. The idea is he's leaving. He's going to visit his parents for Pesach. You're not going to see one another for a month or two. Yeah, it's like how you say goodbye.
Okay.
So we hope that even if he has to depart once, when he comes back, he ain't departing again, right?
Okay.
Yes?
In the Shulchan Aruch, it says that you should tell your friend to go in this shalom, not this shalom.
That too, yeah, it's a Gemara. We'll get to that.
Go to peace, not in peace. Because we haven't built the temple yet. And every place in Tanakh where it makes somebody say go in peace, something bad happened.
Not Lishalom?
So you should say Lishalom.
In peace, right?
Okay, we're at the top of Nun Tet. Mar Brei Deravina. Yeah, you should be focused. Who is here? Tuesday night. Adam, this one's for you. Yeah. So on Tuesday night, in the advanced class, we learned that the tribe of Zebulun had their territory bordering the river, bordering the Mediterranean. And they came with complaints. And they said, we want more fields. And God said, you're so blessed, what are you complaining about? You have sand that can produce the best glass in the world. You have the chilazon, you can get blue dye out of the sea. You just got to send people down there. You guys can fish, you guys could have good business, and you could produce the best glass in the world. And they did produce. During the period of the first temple, they produced a glass that was called Zugita Chivrita, white glass. And we know that glass production was a big thing here in Israel during the period of the temple. And it was a wisdom that was lost to the point that they could no longer produce this white glass. So Mar, the son of Ravina, Avad Hilula Libre, he made a wedding for his son. Chazanu l'Rabbanan d'Avukabat Chaituva. He saw the rabbis, they were partying way too much. They were getting wild. They were laughing and rejoicing as though our happiness could be complete nowadays. Aite kasa demokra. So he brought a family heirloom. They had a cup left from the time of the temple made of white glass. It was so precious that it was bat tafzuze. It cost 400 coins. Now, just so we get perspective, what are 400 coins? A person that has 200 coins is considered no longer a pauper because he has enough to live off for 2 years. So 400 coins in today's terminology would be like this cup was worth, let's say, somewhere around $100,000, right? In today's terminology. Well, the dollar's going down, so maybe $130,000. It was worth like a nice sum of money. You're talking about 4 years worth of parnasa, right? 4 years worth of work. We're saying the average person earns, let's say, $30,000 a year. So we're talking about $120,000 in our terminology. V'tavach kamayu. So he takes this glass. They're all standing in the middle and they look at the white glass and he breaks it. V'yatzivu. They were all saddened. The music stopped. Everyone calmed down. Why? Because he said, what's going on here? You guys are getting carried away. I know it's my son's wedding, but we don't have a temple. How could you all be so happy? I'm very happy my son's getting married. I'm very happy. But I'm not getting carried away. I'm not forgetting the fact that we're living in a period of destruction. And This Gemara is the source for our custom that we break the glass under the chuppah. We take the cup that he just made kiddushin over. He engages the girl. He makes a blessing, bar priyagafim. They drink the wine. We wrap it, and then we break it. We don't do that anymore. But that's what it says in the Ramah. In Shulchan Aruch it says that that's how we should do it. We break a glass, but we don't take the glass that they used for the engagement. The ancient custom used to be, what's quoted in the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, that they would actually take the cup they drank from, the cup of the kiddushin. Today, they go to the hall and they say, we need a cup. And they take this like a cheap, flimsy cup that costs about 4 shekel, and they break it. At my wedding, I was thinking of doing this, telling them, we have a family heirloom. We have a glass from my great-great-great-great-grandfather from about 400 years ago in Europe. The museums value it at 80,000 shekel. And breaking it. No, making up the story, just to have the effect, because we sort of lost the effect today. But then I decided I'm not going to change from tradition. I never saw anyone else give that speech before I broke it. I wasn't going to do it either. But we have to remember what the effect's, what's the effect supposed to be when we break the glass? It's going on this story. He took a glass and broke it to remind the participants of the wedding, let's take it easy. We're supposed to be happy, but it's not complete happiness. We haven't made it yet. There's still a temple that's destroyed. There are still Jews out there suffering. So there's a nice minhag that has begun in the last decade, and that is that people sing Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim after breaking the glass. When I was a kid, so the chasm would break the glass, and everyone would yell Mazel Tov and start dancing. That's exactly the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. So it's a good custom that people sing Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim. That's the idea of breaking the glass, that we're not forgetting Yerushalayim, we are remembering that our happiness is not complete. Ravashi, avad hilula librei. Ravashi made a party for his son. Chazinul Ravanan davu kabat chaituva. He saw the rabbis were way too happy. Aiti kasa dezugita chivrita. He brought a glass of this white glass. V'tavar kamayu, we broke it in front of them, v'yatzivu, and they were saddened. So, almost an identical story. One was Mar, the son of Ravina, one was Ravashi. By Ravashi, it says explicitly it was white glass. By the previous story, so Rashi says it was white glass. Amu le Rabbanan le Rav Amnuna zute, the rabbi said to Rav Amnuna, the minor, de'ilula demau breid Ravina, at that wedding of Mar, the son of Ravina, when he got married, when the father got married, they asked him, Lishul an mal, sing us a song, you got such a good voice, sing us. Amal lehu, so he said, okay, I'll sing you a song. Vailan demitnin, vailan demitnin, vote us, we're gonna die, vote us, we're gonna die. That's the song he started singing. So they said to him, Amrilei, manani batrach. So they said, what are we supposed to respond? You know, a song has, you say, we say. What are we supposed to say? Amalahu, he said to them, Hey Torah ve'hei mitzvah demignu alan. Where are the Torah? Where are the mitzvahs to protect us? Have we lived up to our end of the deal? So he felt they were getting out of hand. So he too, when they asked him to sing a song, he went solo and started singing a song to remind them, guys, it's a happy occasion, but to a limit. We will learn Be'ezrat Hashem next week the quote in the name of Rashbi that in this world we're supposed to limit our smiles. So long as we're in a state where Jews are being persecuted, there are Jews that are suffering, and the temple is not yet rebuilt, we have to bear that in mind even at times when we're happy. So we're happy and we dance, but there's a certain limit. We haven't yet made it. It's not like everything's perfect. Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll pick up here next week.